Welcome back to the Westwood Podcast. I am your host, J.D. Jackson. As always, you can find me on Twitter, J.D. Jackson at the Westwood Pod, and on YouTube at J-Rock Soccer and Basketball Sessions. Guys, is the NBA media coverage a problem in the NBA? Is it the problem with social media? Does it all stem from them? That's what we're going to get into right here on the Westwood Podcast. But guys, first, I have to ask you, please hit that subscribe button. I'm on all the major podcast platforms. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Radio Public, CastBox, and much, much more. So please hit that subscribe button. And guys, if you'd like to support the podcast in a different way, if you have the means, I have on listener support, and you can support the Westwood Podcast for only 99 cents. Just click the link on the landing page. I really, really appreciate it. But guys, let's talk about the coverage of one Russell Westbrook, and beyond that, the NBA, right here on the Westwood Podcast. Let's get it. Welcome back to the Westwood Pod. I missed you guys. Truly, I really did. So first off, if you guys don't know already, my daughter complained of stomach pain at school on Friday. Made her an appointment. Long story short, we ended up at one ER, then took an ambulance to Children's Hospital. And my daughter had appendicitis. And I think the next day after that, on Sunday evening or afternoon, she had surgery, had her appendix removed. So we had to stay there Monday as well. But everything's all good. I'm back. The podcast is back. My daughter is healthy again. Look, you know, it's a routine procedure, but that's, you guys know, it's a very stressful situation. But we're here, and we're back. And thank you guys for all your well wishes for my daughter, things like that. I really, really appreciate that. You know, once she kind of came to and after the surgery and was alert, after the anesthesia wore off, I did, you know, let her see all of you guys' comments. So she really appreciated it. Thank you guys so much, truly. That means a lot. Now, I want to get into the NBA media coverage. Something I did on Twitter is picking up a lot of steam. First, I do want to say it does, you know, I know it sucks that the Knicks ruined the James Harden debut with the big threes, and now we have a big four. But guys, I want to say we shouldn't immediately panic. It's been one game. Give them 10 games to mesh and figure things out. So I know it sucks to get a loss. You know, you want to come out with the bang. It happens. You know, the Knicks, they're a big team. We had trouble rebounding, things like that. So they'll work it out. I do think that the Clippers need a four or a five, someone who can go out there, get some rebounds, protect the rim, things like that. But let's not fully panic. The season's not over. The sky is not falling. No, it sucks, but the sky's not falling. Now, in this game, Russell Westbrook played a pretty solid game for the Clippers. And for whatever reason, people decided that after one game of the Big Four era, that they needed for Russell Westbrook to go to the bench. Now, Russell Westbrook was 8 of 13 from the field, had 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 17 points. Okay? So, why is it that so many people wanted him to just to fix after one game of the big one game? You shipped out 4 players and you got back 2. James Harden being the main piece of those 2 and PJ Tucker, of course. And after one game of them starting, people panicked and gave all the reasons why Russell Westbrook should go to the bench. Reasons why he can't start, or why he shouldn't close, or both. I'm not saying people can't have their opinions about who should play. I'm not saying people made what I said about something I wasn't talking about. I'm not saying that Russell Westbrook should come off the bench and play 30 minutes instead of start and play 30 minutes. I'm not saying any of that. What I'm saying is people are literally taking one game and they're basing what they think should happen off of information that is incorrect or just a flat out lie. That was my issue. People kept saying, and I'll read you guys the tweet just in case you have not seen it, of what people, most people understood what I was saying, but there were some fans that made it about something it wasn't. So basically, I went on a thread and said, honestly, just say most people will never like Westbrook or appreciate the game no matter what he does. He's been excellent for the Clippers since he got here. So saying he can't close and he should start when he's done everything that haters said he couldn't is wild to me. Russell Westbrook needs to improve his shot selection. Russell Westbrook has shot 50 of 75 of his field goal attempts from 0 to 16 feet. That's 66% of his shots. And he's shooting 62% on those attempts. So, which means he's only shooting 34% beyond 16 feet. And of that 34%, of those 25 shots, 21 of those 25 are three-pointers. And he's shooting 38% on that. So he's going to the rack or he's shooting a three. Very few middies. Now, he's made a few. Now, some of them were within 16 feet because he's backing a smaller point guard down now that he's being guarded by a point guard. So they still fall within probably like 8 feet. That's what he's doing. So he did that. So then people said he shot too much, correct? Russell Westbrook is averaging 12 shots a game. Guys, that's 3 shots a freaking quarter. Again, most of them less than 16 feet. It's the lowest field goal attempts per game in Russell Westbrook's entire career. Even less than when he was a rookie. So another thing was he's bad defensively, right? For the Clippers, he's second among point guards in defensive rating, and that matches the eye test of not watching play defense since he became a Clipper. He's 15th in steals overall and fourth in among point guards in steals. Now, the reason why I even added that is steals usually aren't a good indication of how well you play defense, but the Clippers defense usually gets steals off of sound defense. Very little of it is like terrible gambling and happening to get a steal. From 2014 to 2021, Russell Westbrook averaged 4.2 steals or more. Or 4.2 turnovers or more. Because one of the things was he turned the ball over too much. As a Clipper, he has not averaged over four turnovers per game. Right now he's at 3.8 because the game he had six. My point is he's shooting less. He's choosing more high quality shots. He's shooting more efficiently. He's limiting long twos. He's playing excellent defense. And he's turning the ball over less. And he's the leader of the locker room and team. And you're saying he can't start, he can't close, and he needs to play less minutes. That doesn't make any sense, guys. But at no point in this thread did I say that he shouldn't. I'm just saying, what are you basing it off of? It doesn't make any sense. And I'm getting to the media, I promise. Okay, now. Justin Russo at Fly By Night on Twitter. He says after the game that James Harden scored 15 of his 17 points with Russell Westbrook off the floor. For those of you who are interested in keeping track of such things, that's exactly the tweet. So then Shane Young takes this tweet and he says eventually they really need to get to Terrence Mann starting in Westbrook's spot. We'll see how long it takes. Now, I decided to screenshot this. And I put out all the clips of every single James Harden field goal that he made. You want to know something? He played with the bench unit. And Russell Westbrook and Paul George were on the floor for only one of James Harden's buckets. And Kawhi was on them for none of them. So why did Justin Russo specifically point out 15 of 17 points with Russell Westbrook off the floor if he scored all 17 with Kawhi off the floor? I'm not saying what Justin's saying. I'm telling you, based off of his information, why did he tweet that? Why? Why did Shane Young then follow up with a quote tweet about they'll start May and let's see how long it takes? You're basing it off of something that is just not true. You're being cryptic. You're being disingenuous. You know what you're trying to do. That's the problem with the NBA. Because that tweet had 7,730 impressions at the time, I believe it was. Tons of likes, comments, quote tweets talking about how they knew this wasn't going to work. It was disingenuous. It was wrong. It wasn't what he was trying to say, just wasn't true. Russell Westbrook was not hindering James Harden from being James Harden. None. And in my opinion, it needs to be a complete overhaul of mainstream NBA coverage. For this reason, this is why I know we like to blame the fans. I know we like to blame the casual fan. But guys, they're getting this information from people who cover the sport, like Justin Russo and Shane Young. Now, Justin Russo goes on to say that maybe he worded it incorrectly. I think he's being disingenuous at that time. I think he meant to do exactly what he did. That's my opinion. I told him that. And I don't say anything to anybody. I don't say anything about anybody I wouldn't say to them. All of this I've said to Justin Russo. Now, Shane Young just decided he just wasn't going to say anything. This is the problem. Why do the media continue to lie or cryptically imply false accusations and assumptions about Russell Westbrook specifically? But it goes beyond that. I mean, Harden having to defend himself over what was going on between him and Daryl Morey when so many people just took the side of Daryl Morey. I'm not saying James Harden was exemplary throughout this situation at all, but the fact that he had to get up there and defend himself about something that happened between him and Daryl Morey in private is, guys, come on. My goodness, Terrence Mann had already met James Harden, talked to James Harden. Russell Westbrook hadn't yet, and he had to explain that because someone decided to screenshot a picture of him just looking with a straight face when James Harden walked into the locker room. Guys, that's sad. Why did he have to explain that? It just makes no sense. None. Now see, well, when I quoted this, when I screenshotted what Justin Russo and Shane Young said, Justin Russo did, unlike Shane Young, I will say Justin Russo did, he did respond. Okay? Now, he basically said, it was noticeable, this is his tweet back to me. It was noticeable in real time because the little on-ball work Harden got alongside Westbrook in the main starting lineup, and I addressed the full scope of it in long form after the game. Harden was one player with the stars on the floor, another when they weren't. So then I said, no, Justin, you didn't answer the question. You didn't say the stars in your original tweet with all those impressions and clicks and likes and retweets. You said just Russell Westbrook. So again, why did you decide to say that? It was quite clear for anyone watching the game, he played well with all the bench units. He played with all bench units. And that's why he didn't score with any of the three on the floor, except for he scored with Paul George and Russell Westbrook on there once. He also was quite clearly trying to be a playmaker in the first quarter, for sure. But that's what usually what stars do when they join a star-studded staff. Okay? This is the problem. Because I called him out on this. That's why I said, no, you didn't answer the question. It's just bad. This is constantly. I say he was a bad locker room guy. Not one player has agreed with that. Not one. They all say he's the best teammate or one of the greatest teammates I have ever had. So where did that come from? The media. Now, I want to say something. And I probably should have said this at the beginning. I think there needs to be an overhaul of mainstream media. The Clippers media team, for the most part, has been exemplary. Tomer has been amazing. Joey Lynn has been amazing. Law Murray. Look, those guys have been good media personalities, journalists for the Los Angeles Clippers. But some of it has been extremely, extremely disingenuous throughout Russell Westbrook's entire career. It's just been so much that's false. I had enough. I had time that day. So, for media, journalists, beat writers, reporters, I just ask that you guys use your platform, the platform you have as an insider in the NBA. It's so incredibly powerful, which I think some of you know that. That's why you're doing these kinds of things. But don't use it for that. Use it to educate basketball fans. Use it for that. Not in a way that's false or cryptic or disingenuous. Do it in a way where you're educating the casual fan, and maybe they can move from the casual fan to one of the loyal ones. Use it so more people understand the game and they understand what single game plus minus actually is and stop using it every single game because that's not what it's for. That's not what it should be used for. Educate them on what a Spain pick and roll is. Educate them on what a staggered screen is or a drag. Educate them on what it means to play at the level of the ball. Educate them on what it means to be in drop coverage, how to notice a matchup zone versus man to man. Teach them that. Not this. Not this. Because all you're doing is ticking a first ballot Log Hall of Fame player in Russell Westbrook, who's been nothing but an exemplary teammate and player for coaches throughout his entire career. And now you've got narrative started about how he's a vampire in the locker room and is uncoachable and is a bad teammate when all of those things are extremely false. Mainstream media needs to do better. They need to do better. And I'm not saying everybody again. Tomer has been amazing. Joey Lynn has been amazing. They've been absolutely great. Andrew Grief, I think his name is. That's probably the three out. Those three have been absolutely outstanding. I'm not saying everyone. But there's a big problem in journalism and NBA coverage. What should be paramount to every single one, which is why I keep giving the Clippers beat writers credit, is Joey Lynn, Andrew Grief, and Tomer. I don't want to mess up his last name. That's why I haven't said it. I apologize. But they really, really try to maintain integrity. That should be paramount in journalism or reporting on anybody, just period. Whether you're at the Times or you're covering the Los Angeles Clippers, integrity should be paramount. Tomer will say that's a bad turnover, Russell Westbrook. Joey Lynn will say this wasn't a good night for Paul George. Joey Lynn will say, or Andrew Grief will say, or Tomer will say, hey, this wasn't the best night for the Clippers, but James Harden's here. He seems like he's in good shape. Let's build on this. Guys, that's saying, that is giving critique that is true and honest. Without beating anyone down and without lying or being disingenuous. This is not it. Pointing out specifically Russell Westbrook when none of them were on the floor, especially Kawhi Leonard, tells me exactly what it is you were trying to do. You were wrong. It's just wrong. Now, you guys know I pride myself on this podcast being a truth teller. So I will say that's too many turnovers for Russell Westbrook. Russ just freaking laid a ball up. Why are you being overly passive? Russ, why'd you take that long three? Why'd you fire that sucker? Because it's true. I don't care about coming off the bench 30 minutes, starting 30 minutes. I think he should. But my problem isn't that people think that. It's just the reason why. If the reason why is because he's hurting James Harden in game one, when James Harden played just fine next to Russell Westbrook and Paul George, I have a problem with that. You're being false. You're being disingenuous. What you're saying is just not true. Give me a reason why that is true about why you want Russell Westbrook to come off the bench and play 30 minutes rather than start and play 30 minutes. I might disagree, but I'll respect it if what you're saying makes sense and it's factual. But to say it's because Russell Westbrook, he can score out there with him, what are you talking about? Here's the clips. Then Justin Russo, by the way, said that James Harden can play make. So you guys know me. I just went and found that too. And basically all of his playmaking was done with Russell Westbrook on the floor with Paul George, and it was with the Big Four. So I just, none of it made sense. And I think it was on purpose. And that's my issue. And that fans ran with that in the Clippers fan base without actually knowing that that just wasn't true. It's one game anyway. I don't even know what we're freaking out about. I understand critiquing one game. I did too. But acting like there needs to be a change because he just can't score with Russell Westbrook on the floor when James Harden quite literally played all of his minutes that he scored with the bench unit on purpose by design by Ty Lue is very, very disingenuous. And that's the problem with the NBA today. I mean, Anthony Davis last year had to explain why he just had a straight face when LeBron broke the record. Like he had to get the, I was happy for him. Like, we're just trying to win the game. Like, it's just, guys, it's bad. It's truly bad. And I'm refraining from saying some things that I know. I'm just calling on the media to do better. And it has to be done one at a time. Now, I end up telling Andrew Grief, I think he meant to do what he did, but he should just use his platform to do good and to teach NBA fans. And that was it. And he said, I told him to have a great Tuesday. He told me to have a great Tuesday. I liked the tweet, and we were done. That's it. But I'm just using this as an example of the NBA coverage has to be better. We're getting into, it's ruining basketball discourse for those of us who truly love the sport of basketball. It's ruining it because they're running with what people they think know the game, or they know the game. And they're trusting Justin. They're trusting Shane that what they're saying is factual with no ill intent. And it's ruining basketball discourse. We're at the point where people are just trying to, they're just looking at tweets that's all about pitting play teammates against each other and making teammates look like they don't have good personalities and personal characteristics, that we talk more about negativity of basketball than loving it. I will always love basketball. I'm never going to be a part of that. I'm always going to be a part of telling the truth. But this is a problem. This is a problem. To the point where they don't love the sport anymore. We're ruining the love of basketball. One bad cryptic false tweet at a time. We got to do better. I'm calling on the media to do better, to love the sport and everything about the sport of basketball. It's a beautiful sport to play. It's poetry in motion to see these players play the game of basketball. Don't ruin it for clicks and impressions. If you need to use Russell Westbrook's name for clicks, or LeBron James' name for clicks, or Kevin Durant's name for clicks, or James Harden's names for clicks, you can do so by educating the clients about something that is true and constructive. Also, the tone of so many things is just so negative. You tell the truth without it seeming like it's doom and gloom. I'm very passionate about this because 5 seasons ago is why I started this podcast. Because I want to be a truth teller. That's why you hear me say it over and over again. Russell Westbrook was getting so much heat that was vehemently false that it made me start the Westwood podcast. I love watching him play basketball because I just love the sport of basketball, and he's just a player that's always exciting. Every game. He's one of the most fun players to watch. Because the truth is, he may make six threes tonight, take no threes the next day, and score everything in the paint. He may dunk on Rudy Gobert. He may do all of these things. But the reason that the thing that made me pull the trigger was so many false things were said about Russell Westbrook. And if you really, really pay attention to my page, I've done this over a period of time. I've done it for Michael Jordan, who I've told the truth. I've done it for LeBron James and told the truth. I've done it for Anthony Davis. I've done it for Kawhi Leonard. I've done it for Paul George. I just pride myself on being a truth teller. And I'm asking the media to be truth tellers. Stop with the false tweets, cryptic tweets. And just educate the casual fan. Even the ones who aren't casual fans, there's probably stuff that you know that even a player who really knows the game doesn't know. You guys are in the locker room. You can use that footage. You can use a story that a player won't mind that was funny. You could do all of those things instead of doing what I described and had to witness lately. That's my challenge to the NBA media. Thanks, guys. Right here is where I'll break things. Thank you guys so much for listening to the Westwood podcast. I really, really appreciate it. Guys, I know this wasn't a traditional podcast, but I felt like it needed to be said. I really, truly am passionate about the fact that honesty and integrity should be paramount for all beat writers, reporters, and journalists. And I think that's gotten lost in the shuffle, especially for the NBA. So it needed to be said. But I appreciate you guys tuning in. If you got this far, thank you so much. Remember, if you haven't hit that subscribe button, please, please do. I'm on all the major podcast platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Radio Public, Castbox, Anchor, and much, much more. So please, please hit that subscribe button. And guys, if you haven't, please, please leave me a 5-star review. It will help push my podcast out there even more, and I would be eternally grateful. And remember, listener support's on. So if you'd like to support the podcast for 99 cents, I really, really appreciate that too. Just click the link on the landing page, and you can go from there. But guys, I will see you Wednesday, 6:30 Central, 7:30 Eastern. Nets, Clippers, the Big Four. And as always, until next time, peace.